We'll just pray together before the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Father, for your servant in our midst tonight, for the report that we've heard. We ask you to encourage him during his visit here. We pray that he'll be blessed in his own soul. We ask thee to make him a channel of blessing in all the churches that he visits. Remember our brother, Pastor Patrice. We pray that the way will open up for him to travel over just a little later this week. Lord, we want to remember the land of Kenya tonight. We rejoice in all that is taking place there. We pray, Father, that you will move in salvation blessing across that land. Your word tells us that there's going to be people out of every tribe and kindred and nation and tongue present in heaven. And we want to pray, Father, that you will move in Kenya and call out a people for your great name. Save in this meeting tonight, Father, own the preaching of your word. We pray for the anointing of God. Our prayer, Father, is that there will be some soul in this gathering, some soul listening to this service tonight that might taste and see that the Lord is good. Hear these are prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen. Acts 16, please. The verses 30 and 31 we take as our text tonight. And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Let me ask you to think of this question just at the outset this evening. It's a vital question. Consider it carefully. The question is your soul saved? And that question, men and women, is our theme in the gospel tonight. I'm not asking you, are you baptized or catechized? Those things have their place in the work of God and the Church of Christ. We're asking you tonight, are you saved? Have you had the experience of God's salvation? Because the reality is this, let me impress it upon your hearts. There's nothing more important than that in this world. This, men and women, is the most important thing in life. It is to know beyond doubt that it is well with your soul. To know that you're ready for death and that you're ready for eternity. Let me make it clear, the word saved, it's a good biblical word. It's a great gospel term. It's used over 50 times in the New Testament scriptures alone. So here's a word, here's an experience that is at the very heart of the message of the Bible. And it's at the very heart, the very center of the message of the gospel. And the fact is, if God speaks so clearly, if the Lord speaks in his word so repeatedly about this matter, then what you need to do is to sit up and to listen very carefully, to pay attention to all that the Lord has to say about it. We read in this chapter of the story of the Philippian jailer. This is the story of his testimony, the story of his conversion, the conversion of the jailer. This is the story of how a man got saved in the middle of the night under the prison ministry of Paul and Silas. And just for a few minutes, we're going to take a closer look at this story. And as we do, men and women, we want, with all our heart, to stress the importance of being saved. Because remember, that's the clear message of this passage, and especially the clear message of the verses that we've taken as our text. And as we consider the details of the story, we want you to ask yourself, are you saved tonight? Do you have that confidence, that assurance in your heart? It's good to read and to hear of others being saved, as we do in this portion of Scripture. We rejoice in the news of others coming to Christ. But we want to ask you this evening, are you saved? Is your soul saved by the grace of God? You'll notice, first of all, the meaning of being saved. The verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That word saved means to be rescued or to be delivered. You think of a person drowning in the sea. You would know that they're in danger. You would know that they need to be saved. They need to be rescued. Well, the same is true of the sinner. The person out of Christ needs to be rescued too, but from a far greater danger. You might ask this evening, what do I need to be saved or rescued from? Well, you need to be saved from the power of sin in your life. The sinner, in their natural, unconverted condition, is a slave to sin. The Bible makes that clear. John said, whosoever committeth sin, these are the words of Christ himself recorded by John, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So here's your condition. If you're still unconverted, still unsaved, you're a slave. You're a slave to sin. But when a person gets saved, they are delivered. They're delivered from sin's power in their life. Paul, writing in the Romans, said, sin shall not have dominion over you. The good news of the gospel is Jesus Christ breaks the power of sin in your life. He will deliver you. He will set you free from sin's bondage. But there's something else, there's something more. Being saved also means to be saved from the penalty of sin. Remember that well-known memory verse in the book of Romans, the wages of sin is death. Here's the penalty for sin. It's death. Not just physical death. In other words, the death of the body. But also eternal death. The second death, as it's described in the book of the Revelation, which includes the soul, body and soul, been cast out into the lake of fire for all eternity. And we must warn you today, men and women, those that die without Christ, those that die in an unsaved condition, they will spend eternity in hell. They will spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's what eternal death is all about. That's the meaning of eternal death in the Word of God. John 3:16, that beloved verse of Scripture, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Can I ask you tonight, do you see your condition? Do you see your danger? If you're out of Christ tonight, you're perishing and you're in danger of perishing forever. But here's the good news, men and women. You don't have to go to hell. Because when a person gets saved, when they receive Christ as their Savior, they're rescued, they're delivered from going to hell. They're delivered from a lost eternity, delivered from the wrath to come. They are delivered and rescued from perishing eternally. They're delivered from the penalty for their sin. So in the light of these truths, I want to ask you tonight, are you saved? Ponder that carefully. Have you been delivered? Delivered from sin's power? Sin's power in your life? Have you the peace in your heart this evening, as you said in the meeting, the assurance that you've been delivered from going to a lost eternity? Maybe there's other members of your family, and you know that they have been saved. You've seen the change in their life when they trusted Christ. But we want to ask you personally, pointedly tonight, what of you? Can you say that you're saved? Notice as well the must of being saved. The jailer asked in verse 30, what must I do to be saved? Or literally, what is necessary for me to do to be saved? See, this man, this jailer, knew that he needed salvation. And he knew it was something that was absolutely necessary. There was no doubt in his mind that day that being saved was vital for him. And I want to impress that truth upon all that are here this evening, especially all in the meeting, all listening to the service that are without Christ. Here's the reality, men and women. You might have many needs tonight. Here's your greatest need. You need to be saved by the grace of God. In fact, there's nothing that you need more than God's salvation. Remember Peter preaching in Jerusalem. He said, we must be saved. So the message is clear. We highlighted the must in John 9 verse 4 this morning. I highlighted to you that there's a number of musts in John's gospel. Here's another must, men and women, in the Word of God. We must be saved. Being saved, experiencing God's salvation, is an imperative. If you ever hope to be in heaven, then it's absolutely essential for you to be saved. This is something that cannot be done without. But you will ask me, why is it necessary for me to be saved? Well, the answer is, because you're a sinner. There's a lot of talk in society today about equality. Well, here, men and women, is the ultimate equality. Here is the great equalizer. The fact is, we are all sinners. Paul said again in the book of Romans, there is no difference. We look out on society, we look out on our land, we look out across the earth, there's no difference. All are guilty before God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, you may be a decent citizen. You may be a moral person. You might be a regular church goer, and all of those things are good. But you're still a sinner. And you need to recognize that. You need to recognize that and accept that fact. It's because of your sin that you cannot enter heaven as you are. The book of the Revelation says that there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. No sin, no sinner will ever be able to enter heaven. So you're in danger tonight. You're in danger of hell, in danger of perishing. You need to be saved because of the sin in your heart and in your life. It's that sin that's taking you down the broad road to a lost eternity. So men and women, want to urge you, don't be careless. Don't be careless with your soul. Do you realize this evening how vital this matter of salvation is? That unless you're saved by God's grace, you will never be in heaven. The must of being saved. Notice as well the method of being saved. The jailer said, believe, or rather Paul said to the jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So all that's required, men and women, all that's required for you to be saved is belief or faith in Jesus Christ. Money, works, religion, none of those things are required, because none of those things can save you. None of those things have any merit, any value before God. All that is required is faith alone in Jesus Christ. Not a mere intellectual believing of the facts of who Jesus Christ was and what he did on the cross of Calvary. No, that word believe means much more than that. It means to put your trust completely in him for salvation. So if you want to be saved today, then you must put your trust not in yourself, not in your works, not in the minister, not in the religious leader, not in your religion, not in the rituals and ceremonies of your religion. If you want to be saved, my friend, you must trust completely and only in Jesus Christ and in his sacrifice, his once for all sacrifice that he made on the cross of Calvary. Think of the words of the chorus of the hymn we sang a few minutes ago. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. And we want to urge you, men and women, to do that. Put your trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. There is an acrostic that explains clearly what it means to trust Christ for salvation. Forsaking all, I trust him. And that's what you need to do tonight. You need to forsake everything, and you need to trust in nothing else and in no one else other than Jesus Christ. If there's someone asking, someone in the meeting, someone listening, you're asking this evening, what must I do to be saved? The same question the jailer asked all those years ago. Well, men and women, the answer is still the same. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Put your trust tonight in the finished work of the Son of God, and you'll be saved for all eternity. The final thought I'll emphasise is the mistake about being saved. If you look at verse 33, it says, "And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptised, he and all his straightway." Notice the Philippian jailer got saved immediately. He got saved without delay. It says that he did it straightway, the same hour of the night. Here's a man that got saved immediately. And when is the time for you to be saved? The answer, men and women, is now. Because now is the only time that you're sure of. Many people say, there's plenty of time to be saved. There's no hurry. Let me warn you tonight, that's a mistake. That's a fatal mistake. And it's a fatal mistake that especially young people make. The reality, men and women, is this. You do not have plenty of time. You think of the warnings given in the Word of God, the book of Proverbs. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We're not even to boast of tomorrow. Maybe you've done that already this weekend. You've been boasting about where you'll be tomorrow on the bank holiday. The solemn reality, men and women, is you don't know. You don't even know if you'll live to see tomorrow. You dare not put off getting saved another day. You dare not put off getting saved until tomorrow. Because tomorrow, for you, could be eternity. Tomorrow you could be in God's great eternity. But remember, there's another warning in the book of Genesis. God says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Even you do live to see tomorrow, even though the Lord spares you in his mercy. Remember, there's no guarantee that the door of salvation will still be open to you. There's no guarantee that the Spirit of God will still be speaking to your heart and speaking in your life. The Spirit may be speaking today, speaking in this meeting. What a mercy. What a mercy that is, men and women. But remember, this could be the last day. This could be the last day. God can. That warning from Genesis 6, verse 3. It teaches us that God can, God does, withdraw his Spirit. And if that was to happen in your life, you could never be saved. Regardless of how long you live from this day, you could never be saved. I want to make it clear to you, it's the devil who says to you to wait. It's the devil that's whispering in your ear tonight and telling you to put it off and saying to you that there's plenty of time. How do I know that? Well, I know it for this reason, because God says in his word, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Notice the repetition there of the word "now." The repetitions of the scripture are there for emphasis, to drive the message home to our hearts. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The Bible says today, not tomorrow, not next week, not when you're older. The Bible says today, if you will, hear his voice. Harden not your heart. The right time, the best time, the only time, yea, God's time for you to be saved is now. So I want to plead with you, men and women, I want to urge you. Don't wait. Don't wait another moment. Don't be saying, "I'll wait till another day, some more convenient time." Don't be saying, "I'll wait till another Sabbath." We plead with you not to wait another moment, because that's a mistake, men and women. It's a serious mistake that could damn your soul, take you to a lost eternity. So just in closing, let me ask you again the question with which we began. Is your soul saved? Is it well with you tonight in the light of eternity? Is it well with your soul? If you have to answer and say, no, I'm not saved, still unsaved, then listen carefully to the word of God, to the words of our text. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May the Lord speak through his word to the saving of your soul tonight. Just two verses of a closing hymn. 242. Sinner, how thy heart is troubled. God is coming very near. Do not hide thy deep emotion. Do not check that falling tear. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. Verses 1 and 3 of 242. And we'll stand to sing, please. Just pray together. Father, we praise thee for being with us tonight. Thank you for all that we've heard in this gathering. We rejoice in the good news of the gospel. Thank you for the warning that has been sounded out from the scriptures tonight. You've assured us that your word will not return to thee void, but you'll prosper in the thing whereto you've sent it. We pray that the power of your word will be felt in this meeting tonight. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And Lord, our prayer is that we will witness the power of the gospel in the saving of a soul and in the changing, the transforming of a life. Hear our cries. We want to give ourselves into your hands for today, for the remainder of this day, for the week that lies before us. You've said when you put forth your sheep, you go before them. Lord, we need thee to guide us every step of the way. And we ask thee to spread your covering wings around until all our wanderings cease and until at our Father's loved abode our souls arrive in peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.